Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Another roast made of another show.
Well, here we go again. Even while COVID surges, there are occasional hints of theater optimism. For example, David Byrne's American Utopia, which had a nice run earlier this season on Broadway, and has since been filmed by Spike Lee for HBO, just announced it is selling tickets for a second Broadway run for a year from now. I like the spirit, but we shall see how many potential audience members start sending in their money for September 2021. Meanwhile, more companies are doing what the Manhattan Theater Club unveiled this past week, a lineup of virtual variety to be offered at least through the end of 2020. And the online offerings go on. Literally, my stream runneth over. This past week alone, I watched another of the Actors Fund benefit readings of so-called classics. Now, I confess I had never seen Kenneth Lonergan's This Is Our Youth, and this one stars Lucas Hedges, Grace Van Patten, and Paul Mescal. He's the British star of Netflix's hugely popular Normal People. The play held me more than I expected. It's a three-character piece performed by students in countless drama classes, I am sure, and actually works well in this format. We are rewarded with close-ups of three very fine actors and catch all their emotions. And Lonergan catches a moment in the lives of post-teen but not quite adult New Yorkers who have money, drugs, and sex on their minds. Nice dialogue here, lines like, I never got into the cigarette thing, but I hear good things about it. What did all those kids in the 60s do? Now they're all lawyers, and Ronald Reagan is president. These are the proceeds from my unhappy childhood. And there's even a passage about getting out of New York. What's to like? Asks one. He talks about visiting a friend in Wyoming and the joys of silence and being able to see the sky. The play was first performed in 1996, mind you. And did you manage to watch the Public Theater's All-Star Benefit? Well, I think you still can, and if so, you will enjoy hearing Audra sing and Meryl toast. You'll watch a touching tribute to honoree Sam Waterston. He speaks of the threats to theater we have to outlive. You'll even hear Oscar Isaac play the guitar. Who knew? Oh, yeah, and there's that Hamilton guy again. Well, he has a lot to thank the public for. One can't help but grab a drink yourself and salute the amazing history of Joseph Papp's dream come true. Now, I also listened to the radio play offered by Berkeley Rep based on an Upton Sinclair book called It Can't Happen Here. This one is almost too delicious to describe. Politics and sexism abound and resound with lines like, he seems intent on insulting everyone, especially the press. That woman needs to remarry as soon as possible. She doesn't need to be shut up or locked up. Hopefully you can find this one through Berkeley Rep or the Center Theater Group sites. And then there was Molière in the Park's rendition of The School for Wives, beautifully enacted by Tonya Pinkins and a delightful cast. The plotting in normal times is a bit hard to follow. Now, with all the men's roles played pretty much by women, well, I finally tossed down my scorecard and sat back and just enjoyed the wise witticisms, like, those you mock may one day mock at you. I know men who've lived in pain, they married women with too much brain. And a foolish girl can best the wisest man. Well, there is lots coming up this week, so pay attention. The Eden Theater Company is always pushing envelopes, so tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, check out the latest original pieces from its playwrights lab. Tuesday night, St. Anne's in Brooklyn is offering a filmed version of The Tempest, but I already have my ticket that night to the New York Pops virtual concert by Kelly O'Hara. Wednesday evening, the Irish Rep is streaming another filmed version of one of its works, the Eugene O'Neill's Very Irish, A Touch of the Poet. Same night, Martha's Vineyard Playhouse is offering a reading of The Niceties. Now, I reported on this piece several years back at another theater. It's a complex two-character play about a white teacher who was portrayed here by TV star Amy Brenneman and her black student. It's based on an actual event at Yale, if I recall. It's a good place. Good play. During the week, a Los Angeles company called Lower Depths is presenting a series of pandemic-inspired short works. Also in Los Angeles, the Skylight Theater on Thursday at 6 o'clock Eastern is presenting We the People, an amazing group of excellent and recognizable actors read their own and others' hopeful words. Well, we all need as much of that as we can get. And if you have not yet heard what Heidi Schreck wrote and speaks in What the Constitution Means to Me, this is your moment. It's on Amazon now through the election. It's not perfect, and neither is the document the play explores, but lots of good reminders here and questions worth answering. Off-Broadway's highly regarded The New Group is offering reunion readings of two plays by Wallace Shawn, Evening at Talk House, and Aunt Dan and Lemon. And you can go to Tomorrow Ticks to watch yet another Actors Fund reading. This one is called Race by David Mamet. Directed by Felicia Rashad, she is very busy, by the way, it features David Alan Grier. It's not one of Mamet's best, but the title alone tells you why this one now. Most exciting, at least for me, Friday and Saturday, the Barrington Stage Company is offering Typhoid Mary, written by Marc Saint-Germain. Now, he's the man behind the company's recent reading of a new work about Eleanor Roosevelt. The cast includes the incomparable Judith Ivy and Joe Morton. Wow, count me in. Friday, you might also stream a live version of sorts of Orson Welles' legendary War of the Worlds. This is a benefit for the Keen Company. That's K-E-E-N. And don't forget that the Mint Theater Company is continuing to stream a recorded version of one of its forgotten plays, The Conflict, about two longtime friends competing in a brutal election. This is a lovely show, and yep, it hit some recognizable and vulnerable new nerves. Speaking of which, a piece called JQA, as in John Quincy Adams, can now be streamed through November 4th on San Diego Rep's site. It sounds all over the place in terms of diverse casting. One character may be played by different actors at different times, but it also sounds rather wildly fun. Finally, the International Theater Company, of which I know nothing, is presenting an interesting reading of a play called Daisy. This one is about, arguably, the first negative political ad. That was in 1964. Its target was Barry Goldwater, and yet it only featured a little girl, a popular flower, a harrowing count to 10, and it aired just one time. This one is like watching real Mad Men and One Key Woman before there was TV's Mad Men. And it actually raises some still relevant questions. So, our theme this week, Jill, what's old can be and seemingly is new again.
Do we have any notion of who all's watching?
Not at all.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Not at all. You know, even places like Netflix never give their... The only way you know who's watching, I will say this, is when you're on a lot of these readings, which I am, on the bottom, if they're done Zoom style, if it's just a reading that's coming at you, no. If it's a Zoom style one, which means you're watching with other people and you can send in questions to the actors, et cetera, then you get a sense. So I'll look down and there might be 300 people. There was this week on one. I think it might have been. I don't know if it was which one it was. But I did look down, 300. There have been ones with over 1,000. I'm sure the public theater benefit probably had over 1,000. So sometimes you can't tell how many. You know, these are free by and large. Some of them you pay a small fee. But No, it's hard to know. I interviewed a man named Dakin Matthews this week who's doing sheltering with Shakespeare on theater for a new audiences site. And I said, do you have any idea what kind of response you're getting? He said, no. He says he knows they have a mailing list, so to speak, of, you know, 25,000 people, whether they're all watching his thing. He just doesn't know. So it's hard to tell.
I was just curious, because we talk about it, and it's got its own ability to seem like a lot of people are. I'm just absolutely curious. I wonder. I mean, the people, the companies themselves must have some sense of who all.
I bet Barrington Stage Company does. They've done a lot of good work, and I think the Eleanor one was a Zoom, because I remember writing in some questions to them while it was on. And that had a pretty good turnout, I think.
All right. And any, when I say live activity, any comments on places, and there are many, where there aren't such same situation as in New York and in this area? Is there any liveness going on?
Boy, not that I could find, except in London. There's, the Old Vic has done very well, but that's not live either. I mean, they're live readings, but there's nobody in the theater. Outside of the very few that have been mentioned that we've talked about,
right,
like Godspell or some outdoor thing. No, but I don't think so. If you can find something in some town, maybe, and there probably are, and, maybe outside under a tree in Vermont somewhere, they're, following an actor. But I really don't think so.
I would think where it's warmer. I am wondering about Atlanta. I'm wondering about, because as we talk about, when you watch it, of course, on the news, these states are little tiny places, right?
Right,
but
right.
I think they're actually rather sizable, and so I'm thinking about places that are naturally warm. I don't know if anything's going on down in Florida. When I talk about it, I'm not talking about. I'm just wondering if people who are doing and have done good regional work are doing that, not in states that are completely shut down, but in states that are not.
Yeah, I think it's starting. I heard about one this week that's going to be a more of an immersive work, but that's not really outside either. It'll be back and forth. It'll be that you're participating. But I've talked about those too, some of the illusionist ones, which are interactive. But that's not the same as being outside. I guess we'll see. I was thinking they should be performing outside polling booths. Now with all this, people are lined up for hours. And I'm sure there are people out playing their guitars.
I think that's really good idea. Busking. We're going to bring back busking.
Yeah, exactly. But what if you actually did a little, scenes from shows while people are standing out waiting to vote?
No, I think that's absolutely splendid. Of course, you'd have to, you're only allowed between, how many feet between
that's the problem.
The polling place. So you're gonna have to. It sort of depends on where you are, because many people will want something more political than you can do. But some selections from some show tunes, how great would that be?
Well, that would be the thing to do. And I'm sure that is going on. I mean, you've been places where you go to the park and people are playing their guitar and they're singing. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, Kelly O'Hara instead of whatever she's doing Tuesday night. I'm sure that's it's a virtual concert, because I checked to make sure. Yeah, why couldn't she be outside, maybe? Well, we'll see. Anyway, life goes on, and we'll see how many people buy tickets to America and Utopia, which for next September. I bet not a lot.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.